This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast, the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Liz Hudson. Liz is a brilliant founder of a business that mostly serves private equity funds. She herself is a product person, a marketer person, a sort of visionary person. We're going to talk today about this one issue that's creeping up in private equity, which is this issue of this vast divide in pricing for companies. What we're seeing now, and to talk about it more, is companies that are COVID resistant or showing themselves to be COVID resistant, seeing pricing off the charts. We're seeing the other side of that, companies that aren't COVID resistant getting having a very hard time selling to private equity and so forth. And we'll talk about both these things. Before we do so, let me ask Liz to introduce herself. Liz, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Great to talk with you, Scott, and thanks for having me on again. I'm Liz Hudson, and I'm the founder and principal consultant of EGH Consulting, which is based here in the Chicagoland area. And we're a group that primarily supports healthcare products and services companies, and as you mentioned, about 100% of our business is in the private equity space, so it's why I'm really interested in this. And, you know, while we support a wide variety of projects, we're primarily known for two areas. One is merger and acquisition transition management, and the second thing is product development, both on the marketing and the R&D side.
Thank you, Liz. And you and I have talked about this some and have alluded to it, and we see it in the public markets. In the public markets, there's this huge divide between the pricing of the big technology-driven funds, that firms that have proven themselves to be somewhat, you know, COVID resistant. So those companies that are largely technology driven, e-commerce driven, are just trading at all-time high multiples. Those that are not, that are more in-person driven, are not. Talk about what you're hearing on the private equity side, which I think reflects the same trend. Talk about what you're seeing and hearing from your colleagues about pricing of deals.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And this has been just a fascinating learning experience for me. I think there were very few businesses that were not impacted by COVID, and that's both positive and negative. You know, for these groups, it's been hard to gain some alignment on valuation between the buyers and sellers. And we talked some time ago, we talked about that when COVID hit, things did slow down for a bit, and everyone was trying to assess what was going on, how to navigate next steps. And what was happening there was money that normally would have been spent on deal activity wasn't. So what seems to be happening now is that as opportunities are rising, bids are quite a bit higher than expected. There's a big demand to deploy money, so prices are higher than expected. I think early on there was a hypothesis, a belief that there would be more fire sales, lower bids on those affected groups, but it turns out there weren't quite as many distressed assets as there were out there. But, you know, I think the thing to keep in mind is that while those, it makes sense that these prices are high given, you know, what I just mentioned, it also means that the longer term ROI goals are bigger. And that's for me why this is such an interesting trend, because, you know, we come into play, me and my team, we come into play right at the point of acquisition and then beyond through to sale. And so we're working with those PE portfolio companies on trying to achieve those multiples through various strategic initiatives and things like that, both short and long term. So as those prices get higher, you know, when we're working with a group on transition or stabilizing an acquisition or portfolio management, product development, whatever those things might be, you know, it's really important that there's excellent execution on those kinds of projects because, again, those ROI goals are much, much higher now.
We'll talk about that. If you talk about the internal rates of return, the ROI, and so forth. If people are buying in this, you know, might be an inflated period of time because everything that's been COVID resistant or technology driven has priced really high, particularly if it's going well for this period of time, those buyers have to bank on that it's still going to be going well 3 to 5 or 7 years from now after they add in some more maybe bolt-on companies or add on some more product and be able to grow that platform. And they got to hope that that market holds up for 3 to 5 years and that you don't see a return to cyclicals in terms of investing, but these tech and communication companies stay very strong. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how long do some of those opportunities continue to see some of those big growth opportunities on things that are unique to this period of time right now. and what do they look like over time? So I think, you know, this is an interesting one where, you know, how do you continue to see opportunities there, but then also see where you know, it's a Gretzky phrase, right, where the puck is headed, and anticipate some of those things and take technologies that are existing today and apply them to new markets. I think it'll be interesting to see, but I think this is also where it's important to buckle down on the core principles of good business planning and strategy and being nimble and close to your customer and understanding what their pain points are so that we can innovate and respond and react appropriately.
Yeah, so really, it generally, the smartest private equity funds seem a lot smarter than the rest of us and seem in the long run to generally do well with this kind of stuff. And it will be always interesting to see if they're able to achieve the internal rates of return in buying heavy into growth technology firms now over the next 3 to 5 years. And really, Liz, at the end of the day, the jury is still out, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is. I think, you know, it's a day by day kind of a thing, and we're watching and seeing where this is evolving. I don't think anyone could have guessed what was going to happen a little more than a year ago, and we're learning. And, you know, again, I think this is where humility comes into play. I think, you know, understanding and watching what is happening and responding to that appropriately. And again, with a lot of thoughtfulness, listening to where technology is headed, how our customers are what pain points that they're dealing with and things like that. But it's important to not make assumptions about those, but really be listening.
Magnificent. You do a magnificent job. You yourself have built this unbelievable consulting practice working with private equity funds. Liz, how can people learn more about you and find you if they want to talk to you about their portfolio company's business needs or their private equity funds needs?
Oh, thanks, Scott. We'd love to have you visit our website. We're at eghllc.net or drop us an email at ehudson@eghllc.net. We'd be very happy to help out. Again, in such trying times, we would love to see how we can help support your organizations and just be a good thought partner and extra pair of hands.
Thank you very much. I'll date myself for a moment. In the old days, there was a phrase, a famous marketing phrase, when E.F. Hudson talks, or E.F. Hudson talks, people listen. Now it's really when Liz Hudson talks, people listen. Liz, I want to thank you for joining us again on the Becker Business, Becker Private Equity Podcast. You're always terrific. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Scott. Great to talk with you.